Hi, welcome to the Whole Therapist Podcast. We're leaving out the theorizing and exploring this strange phenomenon of being a human and a therapist. I'm Kelly, licensed marriage and family therapist, working in private practice settings as a clinician and a clinical supervisor in the Denver metro area.
And I'm Abby. I'm a licensed clinical social worker and the owner of a group practice in the Denver metro area. Kelly and I are both registered play therapists, supervisors, and EMDR certified. So we're both therapists, but this is not therapy. And we're both supervisors, but this is not supervision. This podcast is purely for fun. So for any ethical concerns on your caseload, please refer to your state laws and licensing boards.
And please remember to follow The Whole Therapist on Instagram, Facebook, and subscribe on your favorite podcast listening station. For more resources, blogs, and consultation opportunities, visit wholetherapistinstitute.com.
So come join our conversation while we explore the embodied experience of neuroscience and authenticity in the therapy room.
Hi, welcome to the Whole Therapist Podcast. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Abby.
Welcome to the show today. We are excited to have you all with us. We are recording very early. Normally we record after work, or I guess in the middle of the day on like a weekend.
Yep.
But I picked up Abby today around 7:30, and we've just been in the office chatting before we hit record.
Yeah, we've got coffee and not an offensively large water bottle today, but water.
Yeah, if you've listened to another episode, I had an offensively large bottle. I actually had a friend that came out and gave this one to me.
It's very festive. When this episode comes out, it'll be around the holiday season. And today we're going to talk about pregnancy and being a human that is pregnant and a therapist.
Yeah, we felt like it lends itself well to the podcast, considering that that is the kind of the whole basis of the conversations that we have, is that we are both and how do we navigate those? Mm-hmm. And as many of you listeners know, Abby has three children and currently I'm pregnant. And so it felt like a good time to be able to talk through it.
This is actually Kelly's first supposed day of maternity leave, except it's not because we're in her office working.
Yeah. And I have done some other work. I will say, speaking of like pregnancy and being a human and a therapist, it's really given me insight around my lack of boundaries.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah.
I'm like, wow, like I preach boundaries all the time and I have really poor boundaries.
Everything's being stretched, bodies and comfort with boundaries, and time off is hard to take. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what's really difficult is knowing that I'm personally going to take about 4 months off. And so for my caseload, I had to refer everybody out and make sure that they had somebody. There's very few people that are just completely ending. A lot of folks still needed ongoing care. And there's just this desire to make sure that everybody has what they need before they leave. I'm remembering when Robin Goebel had left Texas to Michigan and she closed her whole practice down. And there was a client that she talked about. I don't know where I heard this from her, because at the time she didn't have a podcast. But she was working through some pretty like intensive trauma, like adoption work. And it wasn't getting to where it needed to progress for Robin to be able to end.
Yeah.
But it ended up working out. But it is how I have felt with some of my clients of like, I really want them to be able to have this experience of like a bow, like tied up at the end. And
right.
Unfortunately, that has not happened, but for a lot, but for some it has. Mm-hmm. But it has pushed me to work harder in the last few months, where I have then felt guilty and been like, I'm supposed to be resting and like taking care of myself and not working harder.
Like all the needs start to conflict.
Yes.
What we feel like a client might need or what we might need to do to show up with them conflicts with perhaps your body's needs or baby's needs. I mean, he's going to come.
Yeah.
Whether you keep working or not.
Right.
There's a clear need he has to come earthside. And
yeah.
It's hard to hold all of that.
Yeah, it really has been. And something I had thought about was just as it is being a pregnant person, I imagine you can, speak to this, is like you're just so, I don't know if this is the right word. Maybe you can give me better words for this, but just like so available mm-hmm. for people to make comments or yeah. opinions to or about. You know, I really feel lucky. I've not had a ton of unsolicited opinions. I've had one kind of like yucky situation that happened. And then only like 2 weekends ago, Alex and I were out and about and there was like a couple comments. But otherwise, I just haven't had that. And I haven't had people try to touch me. Mm-hmm. But it's very vulnerable.
Yeah.
And then when you think about in the therapist space, because especially you and I using IPMB,
right.
like we use so much of ourselves mm-hmm. And are so authentic about what's happening for us that it's been interesting to navigate like how much is too much? Is it okay that like the 7-year-old client said this? If it was an adult client, it wouldn't have been okay.
Well, and how... vulnerable is such a good word for it. I remember feeling that way with all my pregnancies, but especially the first one. It feels so, I mean, babies are like the most protruding part of your body by the end. And yeah. so there feels like my son would be the one greeting people in a way. Mm. I remember talking to my therapist, like, I feel like he is the first physical greeting is my belly. Like And I want to protect baby. I work with kids too at that time. And so it felt like with really chaotic or big feeling, externalizing kids, wanting to protect my body and baby, but also needing and wanting to show up authentically. I felt like pregnancy pushed me to be more authentic. Like we can't pretend that I'm not pregnant. Like the first few months when you don't say anything to clients
yes.
for varying reasons, I could kind of silo myself. My pregnant self was like, over there
yes.
in a corner. And by the end of it or throughout it, it's just so much a part of like, I am your therapist and I am pregnant. Mm-hmm. And the and is so loud in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And for some clients, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of clients who have maybe in utero or pre-verbal pieces or adoptees, adoptive parents, it's something you talk about every single session.
Yeah. Or infertility.
Yes, absolutely. Right.
Yeah. I think that's been something really interesting. I don't work a ton with folks that have had infertility, but I certainly have had people like that on my caseload mm-hmm. and as kind of sprinkled throughout during my pregnancy. And there's this piece of wanting to only hear positive birth stories.
Yeah.
For my own birth to kind of help me move through that.
Yeah.
And not being able to do that when this is part of my job. Like I really have to hold those stories.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm curious, is I think you had talked to me about kind of sharing that with people like, oh, I'm only listening to positive birth stories. Like how did you navigate that, if at all, when you were pregnant, holding it for clients, but then maybe was there a ritual that you did or?
It's such a good question because I was really firmly boundaried in my personal life about, and I would even put my hand out extending past my belly intentionally. Like, I'm so sorry. I'm going to stop you right there. I'm only listening to positive birth stories because I had a lot of anxiety as a human about pushing a baby out of your body.
Yes.
And so in the therapy space, that wouldn't be a boundary that I would have with a client, right? So whatever they need to share and say, and I did have two clients that were working through their own pregnancy losses in different stages of pregnancy during two of my kiddos. And I would have to work really hard to take care of the part of me that feels vulnerable and sensitive to those stories. One of them was like an EMDR client.
Mm.
And I would often put my hand on my heart or just softly on my belly during session. Afterwards, I did this thing that my midwife talked about, like an oxytocin bath, where you would put your hands underneath your breasts and then put your hands over your belly and be like, and baby, that's just about me. That's not about you.
Mm.
Like if I noticed I was having a stress response. And a lot of breathing, because we do need to do our own work to be able to hold client stories.
Yes.
And I can also honor like, gosh, that was really hard for that 50 minutes to listen to that. And that's not about me or baby. That's this person. Let me send like love and well wishes to them mm-hmm. with my breath and come back to me. So a lot of breathing and mindfulness. And I was just in my own therapy the whole time.
Yeah.
Because I was so worried. Yeah. I find that that's the best thing we can always offer listeners is like, who's listening to you outside of sessions and holding you so that you can keep coming to the space?
When you had shared with me this piece around sharing with people, I'm only listening to positive birth stories. I had had some client work around holding some of their own pregnancy loss and hurt. And that I was fine to do that. And then I think when you had shared that with me, that is when I was like, oh, how will I navigate that in the therapy space? And I agree with you. It was just, it actually came very natural and easy to like do. But something that really was interesting is I ended up doing a hypnobirthing class. And one of the things that this woman had said was that every birth is different. She's like, including when you have a second or third or fourth child, like there will never be a birth that's the same.
So true.
And so she said that whenever you hear a story, and if it's not a story you want to hold, you get to say, well, thankfully that person already took that story, so it won't be mine. Mm. And so if it is feeling hard, I think in the therapy space to hold those stories, I think that you can add some compassion of,
yeah,
of course, I'm so sad for this client and sending them so many well wishes and healing, and it won't be my birth story.
Because it's all unblending. Like as we're talking, that's the word.
Mm.
You're just continuing to be like how Siegel talks about differentiation and linkage. It's that dance again of like, oh, I'm here with my client and my client is not me.
Mm-hmm.
And that birth story is not you. I love that from the class.
Yeah.
They took that story. It's not my story.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're right. Like that really applies to so many things when we're going through something that's very similar to a client. And you and I talked about before recording, this is what we were talking about all of COVID in the first season of all of this is how do we manage something when we're going through almost the exact same thing as a client and having to be really vulnerable because we have to be authentic about what's going on. You know, I've had to really share with clients why I'm running late or why I have to reschedule. I've had to be careful if there's like some news where I have to like shift it from the doctor and making sure that clients aren't overly worried about, you know, what's happening for me. And I could tell even towards the end, as I was coming up on maternity leave, I named out loud for clients, like, I am feeling anxious that maybe I'll have the baby early and we won't get to say goodbye.
Yeah.
Because I was just feeling that and I'm sure they were feeling the same.
You brought this up before recording and I want to come back to it before we close, this piece around caretaking when clients begin to want to take care of us. Mm. I imagine this would happen with any like body difference. And so pregnancy is in there. Like a sudden change. If you had broken your leg or being pregnant, you can't do the things you would have done.
Yeah.
Like move heavy things around the office or, I remember getting stuck on the floor twice in my third pregnancy.
Oh. Like,
I think I'm just going to sit here for a minute and clients want to help and how to navigate. Can you speak to that? Cause I have thoughts around what did and didn't go well for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh. When you said that you got stuck on the floor, I must have blocked it out. It just happened last week. I didn't get stuck on the floor, but I allowed this kid who really weighs nothing, but obviously like I'm so big right now. I just allowed this kid to, I didn't see it was coming, but there was a full on tackle that happened. I was like in a squatting position, handing them a treasure and they came at me for like a big hug. But like, I just fell back and, you know, it was hilarious to them. And it is kind of like Theraplay-esque.
A little bit, yes.
Like any other time I would have like rolled right back up and, yeah. You know, but I was like, whew, I don't know if I can get up from this. And you could see the parent's face was like, oh, we're so sorry. So some of the caretaking has even been around parents educating their children on ways to be around me. Mm-hmm. I've had lots of kids who are like, can I pet your belly? And I feel very fine with the kids doing it.
Yeah.
But I've had a lot of parents stop them and say, actually, like, you know, when kids have just gone to touch, like you have to ask. Mm-hmm. But other caretaking pieces, which have been brought up for me is I've come to realize I guess just in general, am more of a person that says I can do things on my own.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need help.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have been practicing that in my personal life of like, yes, it's okay to ask for help. If somebody wants to allow you to sit down, you can sit down.
Yeah.
But there is this piece in my therapy space where I've wanted to remain at the same level.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully, my pregnancy has been healthy and I've been able to continue working out. And so I have felt like I could move things. Mm-hmm. But it's crossed my mind of how helpful is it for a client to be able to help me? Like, is it actually really therapeutic for them to extend help and for me to accept it?
I don't have an answer, but I resonate so much
with
like the, oh no, I've got it. Think you want to help me and I can do it. Or can feel rejecting for some clients.
Yes.
As they're trying to offer care and which part of them is needing to be able to, which part of me, I just think it gets messy.
Yeah. I think what happens is, especially because for me, we're ending and clients so often want to give us things. And this is like the easiest way for them to be like, let me give you something to thank you for the work that we've done just by like letting me help you clean up the playroom. And more often than not, I have said no, but then later on reflected like that might've been really helpful for this person. I think the other thing that has shown up is there's been a lot of gifts.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like I've set my boundaries around that and I'm really clear about like, this is not necessary or needed. And like, I'm so grateful. And I just was reading this post the other day on social media. It was like somebody was like, dear moms, I'm so sorry. Like I didn't know before, but I now know like there's this like sisterhood that's like unspoken and like we're all in it together. And I feel very connected now to a lot of the moms that I've worked with. You know, I'll say something. They're like, oh yeah, I know. So again, the gift giving, I understand where it comes from because they just...
Like you're accepting that.
Yeah.
That's what I hear is like feeling into, it would be the opposite of therapeutic to reject a gift.
Yes.
When I think of that, like what else can our clients offer? That might be part of the mutuality that they need in their process.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Just to be able to offer. And then how pregnancy is lending itself to more connection with the moms you work with.
Yeah.
Or many.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
So, of course, talking about this, and we started out by saying today is like my first official day of maternity leave. We'll record a couple episodes today, this being one of them. And then Abby and I will come back together sometime in like the early, late spring of next year. You know, we always end up taking a break anyways around the holidays. But the exciting thing is that Abby is actually going to get to interview Marshall Lyles.
Yeah.
And so you'll get to hear some of those interviews in between the time that I'm gone and then when Abby and I come back. So even I'm looking forward to hopping on the podcast and listening to that.
Yeah, there'll be some good conversation and we definitely will take a break from probably end of December through February at least. And then the consultation group has been running. That's monthly. So just be on the lookout on social media for the Wonder With consultation group that happens the third Thursday of every month. We do have a small wait list, but if you'd like to get on that wait list, we might start another one sometime in the new year. And we're just so excited for baby, Kelly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we just hope all of you that are listening that have been pregnant or are pregnant or wanting to get pregnant that somehow this kind of resonates with you and we're just with you.
Thanks for being with us.